quick hit look at what's going on around the world of sports locally, regionally, and nationally. The 2-Minute Drill, brought to you by Alta Mortgage Financial on Utah's number one sports talk, ESPN 700.
2-Minute Drill time. We're going to check in with our friend Blaine Fowler and preview BYU at Portland State, which opened tomorrow afternoon at Lavelle Edwards Stadium in just a few. But thought we'd check in on the NFL as we head into that big, big, big third weekend of preseason games. The major cuts begin to come later this weekend, early next week for NFL teams as they pare down rosters. We've checked in just about everywhere else in the NFC or AFC West, but we haven't checked in on the now Los Angeles Chargers playing at the legendary StubHub Center in Carson, California, where I've called many a Major League Soccer match. Eric Williams covers the Chargers. He's their insider for ESPN.com. How are things, Eric?
I'm doing good, Bill. How are you?
Doing fantastic. All right, let's check in with the local guys first. A couple guys with Utah ties, Tenny Palpoy and Sam Tevy. I know they re-signed Tenny in the offseason as a defensive lineman. Sam Tevy was a guy they got this spring in the draft. What's been the returns this fall so far on both Tenny and Sam?
Well, I think as far as Tenny goes, he's one of their defensive rotational guys. He actually plays behind Joey Bosa as their base side defensive end, but a little different player, obviously, than Joey. He can kick down and be an interior rusher in passing situations and really just kind of an overall solid team player. He is going to start, though, on the suspended list. He still has one more game to serve on a PED suspension that he got last year. But I think he's going to be a guy that's going to be a contributor on defense. For Sam, he's been working with the third team at right tackle. And as all rookies, you know, they struggle with the speed and really trying to figure out how to block these athletic edge rushers that you see in the NFL. Probably unlikely that he makes the team. I think it's more likely that he's going to be a practice squad player and a guy that they look to develop.
How's the transition gone? From the outside, it looks like it's been a little bit rough moving from San Diego to Los Angeles. Have they gained any real traction in that market yet, Eric?
No, it's going to take time. I mean, as you mentioned, if they're playing at StubHub, these 27,000, and they haven't really been at full capacity for the first two games. I think they've had 21,000 for both. That should change in the regular season. A lot of people don't go to preseason games. They have better things to do, and they know they're not going to see the starters. Ultimately, you have to win games. You know, it's Los Angeles. It's an ultra-competitive sports market. There's a lot of teams, you know. You got the Dodgers and Lakers that have been there for a long time, have had a lot of success. And then obviously you have the Rams, you know, which is more of a legacy team for that market. So I think in terms of the Chargers' perspective, they have some names. They play an entertaining brand of football. But ultimately, if they're able to win games, I think they'll be able to carve out a niche there.
Well, as long as they outdraw Chivas USA and what they did in the final year at the StubHub Center, which was dozens and dozens of fans, they'll be at least doing better than one of the other tenants. Eric, thanks so much. Enjoy the rest of the preseason into the season. Thanks so much for coming on.
Sure, no problem. Thanks for having me.
All right, Eric Williams, Chargers insider, L.A. Chargers insider with us from ESPN.com. We go from him to a guy that covers the entire NFL for Yahoo Sports. He's their shutdown corner. That's Frank Schwab. And, Frank, I guess we'll just start where we just were. It's not been smooth at all. The Chargers are not very relevant yet in Los Angeles. What's your expectation for them coming up this season as Phillip Rivers gets yet another year older?
I mean, the relocation itself, I thought, was the worst relocation in professional sports in the last 50 years, maybe. It was ridiculous. It was dumb. They're going to a city that doesn't want them. So that part is bad. I don't know how that affects them on the field. I don't know how playing in a soccer stadium affects you, your record. This is a good team. It stinks that they've kind of lost their two best rookies already, and they always seem to have this injury hex hanging over them. But I think it's a really talented team that can finish first in the AFC West. It would not surprise me that much. That's how good this team is. But honestly, I really just don't know how moving affects them. I'd feel a lot better about them if they were still in San Diego.
Speaking of teams that you wonder about their future in their town, the Jacksonville Jaguars. I covered them for 6.5 years before I came out to Utah, but those were the early years and the good years. Haven't been many of those since Tom Coughlin left. They appear to be unstable at quarterback, which is never a good deal after you've drafted a guy very high a couple of years before. Is Bortles going to be the long-term answer? Do you think they move on to Chad Henne ultimately?
I think they got to move on to Chad Henne. It's just at some point you just can't go into that locker room and tell your guys to play for Blake Bortles when he's struggling like this. I mean, the players know how bad he is. And, you know, some of this, I think, is all in his head. It had to change his mechanics after last year when he just cratered. It doesn't look like he's really taken to that. Although last night he played better. So maybe there's signs of life there. But I kind of think at this point, given everything we've known right now, I kind of think you got to start the season with Henne and just see what happens. Although Henny's no great shakes either.
Did Shady McCoy say what a lot of people have wanted to say about Colin Kaepernick?
I think so. This whole situation has just gotten so far off the rails. It's not 100% or 100%. These two things are both true. If Colin Kaepernick had never protested, he'd have a job right now. That is true. If Colin Kaepernick was as good as Russell Wilson, he'd have a job right now. That is also true. But people want to make this out to be it has to be one way or another. I think there's a lot of nuance involved. I think smart people know that, but this has just gotten so emotional for people. It's become such a hot-button topic that I don't think a lot of people just aren't seeing this clearly anymore. It's a very complicated issue with a lot of moving parts.
You know what's really interesting about the whole thing, Frank? We've not heard a peep out of Kaepernick. It really feels to me like he likes the attention and that the football martyrdom, because we've not really heard him say a word about this. Lots of other people have spoken for him, but we really haven't heard Kaepernick say much, have we?
No, not at all, really. And, I think part of it might be just that he doesn't feel like he needs to do that. I think it's ridiculous for people to say, well, he hasn't said he wants to play football. How would we know? That's ridiculous. The NFL's been going on 97 years, and nobody has had to go in front of a television camera and say, I want to play football this year. If teams wanted to know if Colin Kaepernick would be a backup, what kind of salary he wants, if he's committed to football, they could call his agent and have that information in 90 seconds. So it's ridiculous, this notion of he needs to stand up in front of a camera and say he wants to play. I just think Colin Kaepernick's sitting back saying, no, I'm not going to jump through those hoops for you. You know where I am. You know where my agent is. If you want to give me a call, give me a call. The other part's ridiculous.
Before I let you go, Frank, as we head into the season, give me your surprise team, AFC or NFC. Give me a team that you think is going to be a surprise team this year.
I wish I had a more creative answer, but it's the Tennessee Titans. And I know everybody's on that bandwagon, but this is a team to me that a great offensive line, very, very good quarterback. They got him weapons. They got a great running game. Their defense is okay. They're solid. I think that in that division with that schedule, the Tennessee Titans could make a run at a bye. I mean, if Roethlisberger gets hurt or something, and then in the AFC West they kind of cannibalize each other and nobody gets more than 10 wins, the path for the Tennessee Titans to get 11, 12 wins is not that inconceivable. I think it's a really good team.
Marcus Mariota going to have a big year, but that kid might be poised to have one. Frank, thanks so much. Good chatting with you.
Absolutely. I appreciate it.
There you go. Frank Schwab of Yahoo Sports. He's your shutdown corner, and you can find him here on a pretty regular basis on the 2-Minute Drill on ESPN 700, brought to you by our friends at Alta Mortgage Financial.